Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. I'm Amy Frost. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to be cantering down the centre line at a dressage competition and then suddenly a loose horse gallops in front of you, round and round and round in circles? Well, that's exactly what happened to Imogen Murray over the weekend, and she joins us on the podcast today to explain what happened and how she dealt with it. This is Horse Hour. Excited today. We've got a lovely guest. Her name is Imogen Murray. You will have known her because she was 11th at badminton last year, but more frequently you will have known her for this awesome video that's doing the rounds on Facebook, and it is her beautiful horse Ruby acting so calm and collected and cool while another crazy horse runs past her 3 or 4 times while she's doing her dressage test. Imogen, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thank you.
Well, thanks for joining us. I've been watching this video. We're going to put it on Horse Hour on our Facebook and on Twitter tonight so that everyone can watch it first. But can you just briefly explain what happened over the weekend?
So I was competing in the intermediate at Osby on Friday last weekend, and halfway through my dressage test, there was a loose horse that had made its way from the cross country, galloped straight through the middle of my arena, straight in front of my horse, and I didn't think it was going to come back, so we sort of thought, oh, okay, we'll just carry on with the dressage test and it's probably going to go somewhere else now. But it actually just kept running through my arena the whole way through the rest of my dressage test.
Joe, it's so funny to watch because when you're from the camera angle, I don't know, was your dad filming you? Was someone, one of your groom or something, filming you?
My mum was filming, yeah.
Your mum. From her angle, you look so calm and cool, and you're just doing this lovely, beautiful canter, and then you just stop and you think, oh, what's going on? Is she going to do a pirouette? No, there's this loose wild pony that comes cantering in front of you. And you'd kind of expect the horse, your horse, to go a little bit crazy and, you know, turn and spin and run, but she didn't. She just waited for you. You were both really cool, and then you kept going. And then the second time, you know, you're riding in the other direction. I think you were doing a canter, what's it called when it's on the other leg?
Oh, a counter canter.
Yeah. I think you were doing a counter canter and the horse ran back through again. So then you think, well, second time, again, Ruby didn't do anything. She didn't even bat an eyelid and you were so calm. Now, Imogen, by this point, I think I would have been crying. You know, my horse would have run away. How were you feeling at that time?
Well, to be honest, I was quite shocked that she wasn't really that bothered. She's actually quite a hot mare, particularly in the dressage, and she has been known to explode in the dressage test with no horse running through the middle of it. So I was quite surprised that she coped as well as she did. But no, the first time, like I say, I was just, everyone shouted loose horse, and I sort of stopped and said, well, where is it? And it literally galloped straight in front of me, and I thought, okay, that's different. we'll just carry on, because the judge didn't ring the bell or anything like that, so I just thought I'd just keep going. And Ruby wasn't bothered at all, so to be honest, I was sort of the whole way through the rest of the test, whilst this was going on, the horse was just galloping through my arena constantly. I was just thinking, I don't really know what to do other than just to carry on. She's like, as you know, the judge didn't ring the bell. I was sort of slightly confused as to whether I could stop or not, but I just thought, well, she's not really that bothered, she's just doing actually quite a nice test. I think I just, the horse wasn't running around madly or anything like that, it just took quite a liking to Ruby, I think, and it kept wanting to come back and make friends with her. So I just thought, well, nobody's sort of in danger, we might as well just carry on, she doesn't seem bothered. And it was actually, I was having a little laugh to myself by the end of it, that it just, I couldn't believe it happened so many times.
Well, it was at least 4 or 5 times she ran through your arena.
Yeah, I think it was 5 times in total.
Goodness. It was interesting, actually, because you've had quite a few comments on Facebook and lots of people have said, wow, what an incredible partnership you have, which I think it's insane because you kept a cool head. She was cool. It was safe. Everyone was okay. I mean, there was one moment, I think, where the horse nearly ran into you, but she didn't. She diverted. Yeah. Did you think you were going to crash?
There was one moment when I was doing my medium canter and it did come straight towards me and I did think, I don't know which way it's going to go. I didn't think it was going to crash into me because it wasn't sort of... There's a big difference, I think, between a horse sort of running blind and a horse just running around having a grand old time refusing to be caught, which is kind of what this one was doing. Because what you can't see out of camera is the about 10 or 15 people trying to catch that horse and try and stop it running through my arena. And that was probably the only time where I did think, oh, I don't know which way it's going to go. But to be fair to Ruby, she's really solid in that sort of way. We actually at home have horses turned out next to the arena that sometimes think it's quite entertaining to chase you when you're riding. So she's quite used to horses charging around near her when she's supposed to be doing dressage. So I think she just thought it was like that, to be honest.
It was pretty amazing to watch. But I'm also fascinated to know why... Well, okay, two questions. One, why didn't the judge ring the bell and cancel it to give you a better chance? Two, do you think that affected your score? And three, I wonder what would have happened if you had stopped. Would you have been disqualified?
So I actually ran into the judge later on in the day and she said that she didn't really know what to do because obviously it's not a situation that comes up very often.
No.
And she said she was going to stop the test, but because obviously Ruby was totally not bothered and everything seemed absolutely fine, she thought, well, you know, we'd just sort of let it go on and see what happens kind of thing. If obviously it became dangerous, I'm sure she would have rang the bell. But both, I think everyone was just so in shock at the situation that everyone just sort of didn't really do anything. just carried on as normal. I do think she did say if I'd have stopped, she would obviously everything would have been fine. They'd have just restarted the test or from wherever once the horse had been caught. Which I did think at the time, I was pretty sure that if I'd have stopped, that would have been okay. But it's obviously in the rules, it's not up to me to make that decision. Mm. So I just thought, well, everything's fine at the moment, we'll just carry on. I don't think it affected the score. I definitely didn't make the score worse. I think I possibly got a few extra marks for coping with the extra distractions. But no, I think it's just one of those things that I think you have to look back and say it's unlikely to happen again, hopefully, and just have a bit of a laugh and enjoy the comedy value of it, I think, really.
And what an amazing story to be able to tell now around the dinner table, you know, to your grandkids. Yeah, I was riding at Osby one day and this random horse just came out from nowhere, nearly knocked us off, but we just kept going. So when anyone ever says, you know, I couldn't because I was distracted or I was too nervous, you can clearly say from experience, no, you just keep going. There's no excuses. If Imogen is teaching you, you've got to keep going.
Yeah, I think any time anyone says that anything's happened now, I'm going to say I can definitely top that in my dressage test.
But it's quite, on another level though, it's quite sad because there's been a few horrible comments on your Facebook towards the judge saying that it was dangerous. And that's half the reason why I wanted to speak to you today, because I wanted to hear it from your idea. A lot of people would have got quite angry about the fact there's a loose horse. At the end of the day, we're in an industry where people fall off horses and you get loose horses and it happens. But I do feel it's quite sad that the rules and health and safety have come into play, where people are now criticising the judge that it wasn't, she didn't ring the bell. Equally, I completely understand why you looked in control. Your horse looked completely fine. So I completely understand why she let it go as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think from my point of view with my horse, I would actually, Ruby is as good as she is, I would actually think she is much safer to carry on moving and working, because then she's concentrating on me. I think had I have actually stopped and stood still, she probably would have taken more notice of the loose horse galloping around, and then we might have been in a slightly more sticky situation and have possibly had two loose horses galloping around. So I think from my point of view, it's probably actually safer to have carried on with the test, because she was focused on me and focused on what she was doing. And then, as far as she was concerned, she barely noticed this horse galloping around through her arena because she was too focused on what I was asking her to do, which is brilliant as far as I'm concerned with their training, but definitely actually made the situation a lot safer as well. And also for me, although the horse was, it was charging round, it wasn't running around sort of blindly bolting in a panicked way. It was literally having the time of its life, refusing to be caught by everyone running after it, and enjoying itself immensely, causing havoc. So I think, you know, we see horses playing in the field and they rarely run into each other. So for me, the fact that it would have collided with her, I don't think it would have done in that situation, because it was well aware of where it was going. It was just having a lovely time, refusing to be caught.
How did they catch it in the end?
So after my test, we sort of used Ruby to attract it into a slightly smaller area, and we sort of cornered it and managed to catch it, because it didn't like food either, which was a slight problem. So we tried they tried with a bucket, and it wasn't at all bothered. So that was a bit of a nightmare.
One of my favourite comments actually on your post is from Ashley Underwood, and she's doing a running commentary of what your horse says, as opposed to what the wild horse, which we're going to call Carl, says. And she says, "Ruby, I'm telling you, you should try this wild and free thing." Ruby says, "Shut up, Carl." "Ruby, look, I shed some weight." "Shut up, Carl." "Hey, hey." "Shut up, Carl." And it did look like that. Like you said, the horse looked like he was having a really good time. And I thought that running commentary was
quite good. He was having a really good time.
So how do you top that then, Imogen? When you go from that into show jumping and cross country, obviously you don't need to worry about so many distractions because she's had the worst. What happened for you the rest of the weekend?
She actually went really well. I think it was the good set her off just right, actually, in the right frame of mind for the start of the season. She had one fence down in the show jumping, and she did a fabulous clear cross country, and she actually ended up finishing, I think, in eighth place in the quite a competitive open section, because she's not done a huge amount compared to some of those horses in her section, because obviously you've got all of the WEG horses and the five-star now horses out for their first event in the season, and she has to be in the same section as those. So she, I was really pleased, actually.
Oh, she did amazing.
She did really
well.
How
old is she?
So she is 11, I think, this time, but she didn't actually start competing at novice level until a couple of years ago, so she's quite inexperienced. Yeah,
bless her. I'm looking at the fabulous photos behind you that you have, because you're at home, aren't you?
Yeah.
And there's just some it's almost like it's like Imogen Murray through the years. And it starts off with a gorgeous little, you must be about 6 or 7, so on a pony.
This one.
How old
are
you?
So that's one of my, I probably would have been, about 7 on my 12-hand Welsh pony called Teddy. when he used to do a lot of showing with him, and he was actually champion that day. And then,
oh, wow.
I'm going to just show you, actually, if I can.
You look very smart there. And then next to that is a you've got a gorgeous white pony. Oh, wow, you've got about 30 pictures there.
Yeah, so if I can get this to work, hang on. This corner, if we can see, I know obviously guys won't be able to see this, is called the whoopsie corner.
Is that where you had all your fails? Oh, goodness me. Can you take photos of those and share them with us? And then I can put them on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, so we like to, as a sort of team, like to enjoy having a good laugh at the times when it's not maybe gone so well, as long as obviously everyone's ended up okay at the end of the day, and you know, no one's been hurt or injured. It's, I think, quite beneficial to have a bit of a laugh at the funny pictures or the funny videos as such of the falls as well, because I just think it, you know, if you can have a laugh at those days, they don't seem quite so bad, and it's a lot easier to deal with than sort of focusing on the bad as such, as just have a bit of a laugh and move on.
Yeah, and it's part of it, you know. We don't always have good days. I had a bit of a bad day today. I took my 8-month colt out for a little walk to another field. And when I walked him back, he got so excited, he started rearing. And bearing in mind, this is a 14-hand, 8-month-old colt. He's a big boy.
He is a big boy.
And he's very strong. So having his little feet next to your head is a little bit scary when you're not expecting it. I wish someone had a video camera around then. But no, you're right. You know, accidents happen. You have moments, and then you've got to learn from it and move on, I guess. But it's interesting, you were saying earlier about showing when you were little. Have your family, has your mum always been into horses, or is this something that she just enjoyed because you do?
So no, my parents are not horsey at all, really. My elder brother actually was the one that got us all into it, and he decided he wanted to learn to ride when he was younger, and then my mum did actually learn to ride with him so that she could ride with him. And then obviously I wanted to do it because my big brother did it, and I wanted to do everything he did. And that's how we got into it, really. And he still rides. He's still he's evented up to advanced level, and he lives in London now, but he still events. He's got a horse down there that he events at 2-star level. So
that moment then that you overtook him and went up a level, what was that like? Family Christmases?
Actually, to be fair, it was all quite a natural progression. So he did horses for a year, he had a gap year, did horses, and decided that wasn't what he wanted to do for a career. And then a few years later, I did it and decided that was what I wanted to do. So it's never really been an issue in the sense of that I didn't overtake him until he had a different career and I was doing it full time. So, and he's very supportive. He comes and watches all the time, and I can help him, and he's great, really.
Oh, it's lovely to have the family support. Being young then, and bless your mum for not knowing what she was doing with horses, good on her for learning. I mean, they're scary things when you know what you're doing, let alone when you don't know what you're doing, and you're starting from scratch. How did you then get from the showing when you were 7 to riding around badminton? I'd like to hope that you had a whole bunch of support and, you know, everybody was throwing money at you and giving you these lessons, but I can imagine that's probably wasn't the case.
We did a lot of showing for quite a long time, and then again decided that was a bit boring for a boy because he wanted to go and do something a bit more exciting, and it's him that wanted to do the eventing, and like I actually want to do everything that he did. So I started, and I had a really, really good trainer at the time who was an eventer called Stephen James, and he was the one that got me starting into the eventing. When he first started to teach me and I was, I think, 12, I wouldn't jump above hole 9 on the wing stand, even if one side was on hole 10. I used to not do it. And then I had one of my brother's old ponies, and she was really brilliant. She was really safe, never going to win anything, but would just sort of potter around and quite gently. And I started doing a little bit on her and sort of thought, I quite like this. And then I actually had a really, really good FEI pony called Juno, who was the pony that was responsible for me basically wanting to do the eventing. She took me from barely getting round, sort of like 90, to doing pony trials and being longlisted for the Europeans, and she was absolutely incredible. Used to just sit and steer, and she gave me that like sort of that taste for really enjoying the cross country and that sort of wanting to go up the levels and actually maybe wanting to go to somewhere like badminton or Burley one day. And then I just sort of a lot of hard work and a lot of tears and tantrums on the way, I think, and we got there.
It's amazing to have achieved so much. You're only 25, so to have ridden around badminton at 25 is, and to have come 8th, like, that's amazing. So what are your kind of goals now? Obviously to win, everything's to win, but
that would be very nice. So with my top horse at the minute, Ivor Gooden, so I've had him, he's called Sir Charles at home, because he thinks he's royalty. He is in our house.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I've had him from a four-year-old and we've sort of done everything together and that's been a really amazing experience. So the aim this year hopefully is we're going to go back to badminton and Burley, and I'd like to finish in the top 10 at both. That would be the plan. I mean, he's an absolutely incredible horse. He's really, really good cross country and he's very fast. It's just whether I can steer him in the right direction on the day and we can get it all right in all three phases in one competition, really.
Does he have any preferences on the weather? You know, is he better on wet ground? Is he better when it's a little bit warmer? Or is he like Ruby, where anything could happen and he's not fast?
He's pretty good. He likes it warm. He doesn't like it cold. It was quite ideal for him last year at badminton because the ground was really boggy, which tired a lot of other horses out. But he's got stamina for days. He'd be the only quite enjoy a 15-minute long cross country, I think. But it was also really warm. It was about 20, 22 degrees. So a lot of horses struggled last year because the ground was obviously soft and that was tiring. But it was also uncharacteristically hot for that time of year with the ground being as wet as it was, and he absolutely loved it. It was absolutely perfect for him. So
and what was it like again for you then, being that warm? Does that make it a little bit harder for you?
I think it's something that you just kind of get used to. Obviously I'm riding a lot of horses every day, so in terms of fitness it's not too much of a struggle. You just kind of get used to it, and to be fair to him, he's not a tiring horse for me to ride, so it wasn't too bad for me actually.
I was watching some of your videos earlier today before you joined me on the podcast, and I love your videos because they're really educational at the same time. Now one of them is you have a line of jumps and they're bounces, hops, one over the top.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, wow, you took about four different horses. You were riding four different horses and it was clipped together in this one video. In fact, go on to Imogen's Facebook page and you can see it. MS Team Eventing, and you can see all her videos of her training, and they're amazing to watch. Anyway, this one, you got four or five different horses going over these bounces and they're flying over them, you know, point steer, straight lines, and it's like jump, 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 jump. And the whole time I'm looking at you thinking, Christ, they just look like sit-ups. That looks really hard work. It looks like you're having to do sit-ups on horses, which I can't even do one sit-up, let alone having to go up and down, bend forward and backwards. Like, it looked really tough.
I mean, that's a secret for you, is I can barely do one sit-up off a horse. But no, I think it's something, you know, rider fitness is obviously, it's at the top level, it's a very important part of riding. But I think when you're like me and you said, if it's a job and you're riding a lot of horses every day, you kind of build up that fitness for riding as such. Like, you know, I can go for a run, but I definitely wouldn't look the fittest person in the world doing that. But on a horse, you know, I can ride 10, 12 horses a day and that doesn't really affect me. I think it's just what you get used to.
But this is what I don't understand. You ride 10 or 12 horses a day, but really there's only 8 hours in a working day. And then you might add on a 2 hours before for the mucking out and the grooming, and then 2 hours afterwards. So maybe let's say you're doing a 12, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 hour day, but that's still not riding. How long do you ride the horses for?
So I am really, really lucky. We've got a great team of girls at home that do all of the looking after of the horses for me. Obviously, I oversee it, but I ride from sort of 8 o'clock in the morning till till six sort of at night. And on the busy days when I'm riding sort of 12, they'll probably tack them on and tack them up for me. So I literally get on one and get off and get on another one. So I spend basically all that time on a horse and not too much time So doing all the other bits, obviously. I do those days when I'm some days when it's not so busy, and I wouldn't probably ride eight, and I would spend a bit more time, you know, grooming and tacking up and untacking the horses, spending a bit more time with them. But it's, yeah, no, it's a busy day.
It is a busy day. And that's after, so that's straight after a competition where you've been away for 2 or 3 days competing. And then you're back to riding 8 to 10 horses a day. What I'm interested to know is, do you miss that time with them? Do you miss that bonding?
I think on the really busy, busy days, I like to spend time with them, and I do miss it a little bit. But actually, on the overall, I do spend quite a lot of time with them, bonding and sort of actually spending time with them, even if it's whilst I'm riding them or straight after. It was, although, you know, I've got help with tacking them up and untacking them, I will still spend at least sort of 5-10 minutes with them, which doesn't sound like a lot, but for them, actually, in overall time that they spend with a human as such, doing that kind of thing with them is actually quite a lot of their time. Because for me, I think it's important they get to spend a long part of their day being horses, and they go out in the field every day. So in terms of actually having human interaction, it's only for an hour, 2 hours probably of their day. So to
that's
actually spend...
lovely to hear. That's really good, because so many competition horses are stabled, and so yours are out most of the time.
Yeah, so they're stabled at night. Well, sort of some of them are out in the field at night, but most of them are stabled at night, and then they go out in the field in the day. But in terms of actually time they spend with someone doing anything with them, it's probably only a couple of hours, and obviously a large part of that is me riding them. So actually they still spend most of their time with a person, is still with me, if that makes sense. So
yeah, it makes perfect sense. So do you find it, because one of the myths that I hear, I don't know if it's a myth, I'm going to ask you, if a horse is out like in the field in the day, then it's more lethargic, which means that it can't do its job properly for somebody like you who's a professional rider, which is why horses are stabled, because then they don't use up too much energy. But is that true? Because I don't believe that.
No, I don't think so. For me, I think, you know, horses are designed to walk around all day and eat all day, essentially. So I think they are happier generally, and a happy horse for me does better work than a slightly unhappy horse. I mean, we do have the odd one that doesn't actually enjoy being in the field. He's a bit strange. So he goes out when he wants to. But no, I think generally horses are designed to be out and moving around all the time. And actually, the more time they can spend doing that, then the happier they are then to actually be, you know, into the competition environment, because they are more mentally prepared for that. You know, I think sometimes when they're stabled all the time, they sort of get a bit like caged and wild animals, and they come out and they're a bit crazy. So I definitely think, for me, I think a happy horse does better work for me, and I think that means they go out in the field and they get to be horses and play and do what horses should do most of the time.
No, that's good. Do you feed them anything specific to help with whatever level they're on, or is it kind of generic?
So I'm very kindly supported by Spillers Feed, which is, they've been an absolutely fantastic help. They come out and we weigh the horses, and we go through, each horse has its own individual feeding program sort of according to them and how they are. So Charles is a bit of a strange one. So although he competes at five-star level as it is now, he actually only gets fed chaffs and a fibre diet, because he has more than enough energy for all horses. So he only has that, even though... And then we might have other horses that are perhaps competing at sort of 100 novice level that are needing a bit more energy, just because that's just the kind of horse that they are. So they'll have, you know, a competition mix or some oats or things like that to help them as well. So each horse is fed sort of according to them and their personality and sort of how they are, really.
Do you have any that are, you know, you're riding them a lot and you're competing them a lot, and you struggle to keep weight on them because of all the amount of exercise that they're doing?
So we have a few. Charles is one of those. And again, because he's quite an energetic horse, it's difficult because we can't feed him a lot of hard feed as such. So he's done really well on a particular feed, which is Spillers Equilibrium Growth, which is a fibre chaff based feed, and he has 3 scoops of that a day, which is okay. A lot of food, but he has it spread out over, and he basically just has, he eats whatever he wants all the time of that and of his haylage. And obviously they're going out in the field all the time and eating a fair amount of grass for them, which is obviously, I find, what we found definitely for the ones that struggled to put weight on or keep weight on because of, obviously, you know, they're working quite hard and using a lot of energy all the time, is that actually grass is probably one of the best things for them in terms of keeping the weight on.
Amazing. I think, well, Imogen, I think you're really lucky. I say you're really lucky. You work really hard, obviously, for your horses and to be the best you can be. But I think we're really lucky as an industry to have the brands support us through sponsorship and through providing products and things. So it would be nice to give them a mention. Who are you sponsored by?
Yeah, so I'm really lucky. You know, I've got quite a few sponsors for all sorts of things. I think, you know, we as a team are supported by Devico Saddles, and they, you know, I genuinely wouldn't ride in anything else and haven't ridden in anything else since I was about 14.
Neither would I if I could afford it. I mean, I love a Devico saddle. They're just like, they're so comfy, but
so
they're custom
spoiled.
Made. Yeah, you are.
Definitely spoiled. No, they are, and they're custom made. My saddles are custom made to me and to the horses, and they make such a difference to the way the horse is going, and to sort of, and my comfort as well. You know, I definitely feel more secure in the saddles that are made for me, and I'm very, very lucky to be, because I definitely wouldn't ride in anything else.
I've got to ask you though, have you ever been tempted to ride in a Western saddle?
I do, you know what, I've seen, and would, I think, one time just like to have a go. They look really comfy.
They're so comfy. They're like being in an armchair. And I love the fact that it hooks you up the top and at the back. So,
yeah.
You know, it's almost like a little, it's almost like a hook over the leg, really. If your bum moves, it helps you stay in your position. But there was one time I did try a Western saddle on my horse, and I'm quite safety conscious. So
yeah.
I wore a back protector, as you do. And you know, I had my hat and I had my high vis, and we went out for a little hack, and I had to get off my horse. So I swung my leg over. So I had both legs on the left-hand side of my horse and both hands on the left-hand side of my horse because I was jumping off, and my body protector got stuck on the hook on the pommel.
Oh, no.
I couldn't get on because both legs were off, and I couldn't get off because I was hooked on. It was carnage. I haven't been on a Western I haven't been on a Western saddle since.
No, I'm not surprised. That might put me off now. I'm a bit scared.
No, do it, but just don't wear a body protector.
Just
at the
don't
same
wear
time.
A body protector. Okay.
Yeah.
I definitely need that advice.
People say that, you know, a horse needs to be trained Western to be able to ride a Western saddle. My horse wasn't trained Western. It was just about the comfort. As long as it fits properly and I'm still using the right aids,
yeah.
I just like to have something to grab hold of if we decided to go around
like
a corner.
A little handle on the front.
Yeah.
I think we should fit my saddles with one of those.
Yeah. So what are your plans this year then? You're obviously going to go to Badminton and Burley, like you mentioned earlier. Is it just train?
Yeah, so we've just had the first event of the season, so it's nice. We've spent the best part of the last 5 months obviously working on bits and pieces from last season with all the horses, and it's great to come out sort of the start of the season and see, hopefully, all that training that we've been doing has paid off, and so far it seems to, so that's always great. No, we've got lots of aims. You know, each horse has a different aim, and then we sit down with their owners and as a team together and sort of set out what would be their main aim for the season, and then everything else about what we do with them sort of from now and until then is trying to achieve that in the best way possible, whether that be for Charlie going to badminton, or whether that's for the 4 and 5 year olds aiming for the 4 and 5 year old championships at the end of the year. It's all about how we get from where we are now to there, really.
And in terms of your team then, because you've mentioned your team a few times, you're the main rider, but how does it become a team? Is this the owners, is it the grooms, or do you have other people that go out and ride and compete as well?
So for us, it's everyone, as such. You know, we all sort of jump in together, especially when we're at the event, you know, the owners will help and they'll pitch in. We all have, when we're staying away at events, we like all have dinner as a team, sort of with the owners, with me, with the grooms as well that are looking after the horses, and sort of anyone's welcome. We're quite we're like an open house when we're at an event. But no, it's everyone for me, really. It's the, you know, the girls that are helping and working at home and coming to the competitions and looking after the horses and helping me out, because obviously I couldn't do what I do without them doing such a good job at home all the time. And they do some of the hacking and things like that with the horses, because obviously, you know, we've got 21 horses at home at the minute, and obviously wow. I cannot ride 21 horses in a day. So, you know, we've got a couple of apprentices that are obviously doing training qualifications with us as well, and they've got horses of their own, and we take them out to compete with alongside my horses. So it really is a sort of a whole team together sort of idea for us.
It's lovely. So your colours, are they blue and white? Blue and white stripes?
Yes.
Yeah. So when you're at badminton and you see little Imogen walking along with her blue, because she's only Diddy, with her blue and white stripe colours, and the lovely Charlie and her entourage of about 20 people surrounding her, don't be afraid. You can go and say hello and she won't bite.
And indeed, everyone's welcome.
Oh, Imogen, it's been so lovely talking to you. Thank you for joining us on the podcast. Give lovely Ruby an extra carrot for us for being so good at the weekend. And I just wish you the best of luck for the season this year. Please keep us updated with how you're doing.
Thank you very much. No, definitely. We'll keep you updated. And Ruby's definitely had her extra carrots, I think.
Now, let us know your social handles so that we can follow you. What are you on? Twitter, Instagram, Facebook?
So we're on Facebook as MS Team Eventing with Imogen Murray. So it should come up something like that. And then on Instagram as MS Team Eventing as well. Definitely follow that page. Don't search my name, because I don't put anything on. if you want to keep up with what I'm doing, definitely follow the, and it's m.s.teameventing is what
Perfect.
You need to follow.
And I highly recommend, because there's some amazing educational videos on there too. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck. We'll see you at badminton.
Thank you, and I hopefully see you at badminton.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. We've got a brilliant competition for you. You could win tickets to Bolesworth International Horse Show. Just head to our Facebook page at Horse Hour to enter. You've got to include a picture to be in with a chance of winning. And the winner will be announced on Monday, next Monday at 8 p.m. You can catch all previous episodes of the Horse Hour podcast on our website. Just head to horsehour.co.uk. And of course, you can listen on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast and Player FM. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button so that every episode automatically downloads to your mobile phone. Really hope you're having a good week with your horse and you're not getting too wet, because it's pretty grotty out there at the moment, wet and windy. Always use hashtag Horse Hour when you're sharing your photos and your videos, because we love to see what you get up to with your horse. And we're particularly keen on educational videos at the moment. What tips do you have for your riding to help educate and teach your horse? Whether it's jumping, dressage, movement, flexibility, or just generally having fun, do share your pictures at Horse Hour, hashtag Horse Hour. Hope you have a great week with your horse, and I'll speak to you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.